As I look around the nave, I count over 40 of you who weren't sitting in the pew in the spring of 2009, which is amen to that. Amen to that also because I'm going to tell you a story that I told you in the spring of 2009. And odds are, some of you who were here in the spring of 2009 were out enjoying the sunshine that day and weren't here as well. And if you did hear it, it's one that I need to remind myself every now and then, and so it's okay if you hear it again. Looking back during my time in seminary, that first year was very significant. It was a time of books, and I was surrounded by books, history, ethics, theology, music, liturgy, preaching, books about Holy Scripture, books about the Bible, even opening the Bible. Well, being one who always struggled with books, that stress of graduate school, my undiagnosed attention deficit disorder, and the culture shock of a small town boy, what he feels when he's just thrust into the midst of a big city, it was almost too much for me. The first year, it really just about killed me. I really became overwhelmed. And that first summer was really going to be the make it or break it summer. I was either going to make it or I was going to go home. I was enrolled that summer in clinical pastoral education. It's a hands-on hospital chaplaincy program. Finally, a break from books. And at that point, I had really despised all the books on my shelf. Now, don't get me wrong. Those books were and still are a source of much growth. But what I began to learn that summer was the gospel. Not a gospel lesson from a book, but a lesson from the Holy Spirit and from the presence of a Christ that I almost missed. After being in this chaplaincy program for a week or two, I really began to settle into doing the work of servanthood in this hospital setting. I was assigned to the pulmonary floor where I spent most of my time unless it was my turn to carry the on-call voice pager, which covered the entire hospital, including the emergency room. On the days I carried this special pager, they were the most stressful because they were not predictable like on my floor. Late one afternoon, while in the middle of a very important palliative care meeting, I got paged to the emergency room. This irritated me tremendously. But I was a servant of God, and I gathered my things and I rushed to the ER. As I entered through the staff door, I could hear his loud and obnoxious voice coming from one of the exam rooms. A nurse came out of his room, looked at me, smiled really big, and said, "Oh, good, pastoral care's here." She said, "He's all yours." She did. I entered to find a very intoxicated, dirty, and extremely smelly man. The man smelled so badly that it literally turned my stomach and it made my nose run and my eyes water. The first words were, "Hey, are you the preacher man?" My attention span and thoughts quickly moved to, I got paged out of my meeting for this. I did. Servanthood, I thought to myself. It became my mantra through the encounter. Servanthood, servanthood, yep, servanthood. This man was self-admitted with severe intestinal pain, a pain that seemed to get better each time the nurse left the room. In a span of about 45 minutes, he made physical advances to two nurses and one social worker, which were followed by him threatening to kill me with my own necktie. His arms, neck, and chest were covered with scars from third-degree burns, which he had received a few years earlier from a rival homeless man over something as minute as a few bucks and a pack of cigarettes. Out of what seemed like desperation, I asked him what it was like to live on the streets, which he had done, he told me, for over 10 years. He invited me to come out and join him for a week. I told him that I didn't think I could survive on the streets that long. He leaned forward, looked at me square in the eyes, and said, "Son, why do you doubt yourself? You can do anything that you put your mind to." In a split second, I became somewhat disoriented as I remembered hearing those exact words from my spiritual director a few days earlier. This man continued with, "And besides, I'll show you everything you need to survive. And if you hang with me, you'll be safe because nobody messes with me." He started beating on his chest and repeating over and over again, "Ain't nobody messes with me." Suddenly, the chaplain voice pager loudly barked out a new commandment, which called me to the ICU. I'd never been so thankful in my life. I explained to him that the social worker would return shortly and that I had to go to the ICU to see somebody. As I turned and as my hand hit the doorknob, he said, "I am somebody." Those few words hit me like a ton of bricks. I had been so irritated about being pulled away from my important meeting, and I was so wrapped up in my mantra of servanthood that I almost missed it. One more second, and I would have been out the door and never fully realized the extent of my encounter. An encounter that was a gift from God. An encounter that opened up the teachings of Jesus beyond my wildest imagination. For once, something had my full attention. And I assured the man that I would return after my visit to intensive care. I left that room with the mixed feelings of both embarrassment and shame, and how they were woven together somehow with this feeling of honor and joy. Today we get to hear about the resurrection and the experience of two of Jesus' disciples as they walked to the village of Emmaus. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They were so wrapped up in talking about Jesus that they didn't recognize him, even though there was a report of the angelic vision that Jesus was alive. They could not see beyond the image of him that they knew him to be. They could not see him and what he looked like in the resurrection. As they walked, they felt lost because their hope had been that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. Their hope was that Jesus was the one to redeem them, to redeem the world. They could not understand that they were now the ones to redeem the world. It was their face, their image, that Jesus appears in the resurrection. As they walked, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures, yet they still remained blind to his presence. How was it that they came to recognize Jesus? First, they walked with him. It didn't matter that they didn't know who he was. They walked with him. They also listened to Jesus as he gave them new connections with the Holy Scriptures. Though they didn't know him, they strongly urged him They strongly invited Jesus to stay with them. They sat at the table together. And sitting at that table together was a really big deal. The breaking of the bread was the moment in which their eyes and hearts were opened, but it was those things that led up to the breaking of the bread that built the relationship that allowed them to experience the resurrected Christ. How many times had I, the righteous seminarian, not recognized Jesus? How often do we miss him now? I think it is easy to miss the presence of the risen Christ. I think it's easy to miss Jesus when we only talk about him. I think it's easy to miss him when we forget he is walking with us. And when we don't take heart his reminder of how important an understanding Holy Scripture really is. But not simply reading it, understanding it. I think it's easy to miss the ever-presence of Christ when we aren't willing to invite others to join us in the shelter and sanctuary of Jesus, which includes table fellowship, the blessing, breaking, and sharing of Holy Communion. I really hope that Cleopas and the other disciple didn't miss the importance of that last part. You see, when Jesus was at the Last Supper and he blessed bread and wine and he shared it with all who were there, what was it that Jesus said? This is my body, this is my blood. They are given for you, they're shed for you. Through this body and blood, we have a new covenant of love and forgiveness. This is good news for us. But Jesus said one more thing. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus' love and forgiveness is only half of the sacredness of which he gives us. And when I was standing in that emergency room, I missed the second part. Do this in remembrance of me. I can't receive the life-giving nourishment of the sacramental bread and wine without remembering Jesus. For us to not miss seeing Jesus on the roads in our lives, we have to remember and then do. We have to remember that the covenant Jesus established for us with God was founded on a community where everyone is forgiven, equal in all ways, and worthy of belonging in the body of Christ, that which we call the church. We have to remember that through this community of Jesus, we are to do what Jesus did. We are to love each other, feed and heal the hungry and the sick, and we are to restore humanity's relationship with God. I did return to that ER exam room twice that afternoon, only to find my new friend passed out, sleeping off his overindulgences. My guess is that when he woke up, he didn't even remember I'd been there. But I remember. I will always remember having Jesus suddenly appear to me that sacred day so long ago.